Hello, this is Teresa Freeman. Welcome to Relatable. Today we have a very interesting episode. Megan and Luke are new high school freshmen, and they talk to us about the move from 8th to 9th grade. They also talk about their experience in 9th grade and what some of their expectations were and assumptions. Luke is my son, and I've known Megan for quite a few years, and her mom is a really good friend of mine. What I love about this episode is that these two are so brave and talk very honestly about their experiences. Both parents and young adults will benefit from listening to this episode. We talk about how sports and extracurricular activities can help during that switch from middle school to high school. They talk very openly about the trials of academic, peer, and parent pressure. They talk openly about how parents could be more helpful and the impact of social media, how it's important to get to know your teachers, and how they're both handling tough issues like different friend groups, vaping, and access to drugs. I, again, just want to thank Megan and Luke for their time, and I hope you enjoy this episode. So welcome, Megan and Luke. Thank you so much for chatting with us today, and we really appreciate your time. The first question I want to ask is just tell me a little bit about your middle school. And if you had to give it a grade between like an A and an F, what would you grade it?
I'd give it a B minus.
And what are some of the factors that get you to that grade?
The social was it was pretty good. My social life was pretty good. I liked all my friends, but the teachers there were not my favorite. They were not very good.
So it was mostly teacher specific in terms of it not being an A.
It was mostly teachers. There were some social conflicts, but other than that, it was mostly the teachers.
And tell me just a little bit about what the social conflicts were like.
I don't know, just sort of awkwardness talking to some people.
Was 7th grade different than 8th grade?
Yes, it was.
How so?
7th grade, this one group, it was like kind of awkward. But 8th grade, we started to, you know, warm up to each other. It wasn't as awkward.
And then what about you, Megan, on a scale from grading scale of A to F, what would it be?
A C plus, because there was like a lot of drama at my school. The teachers, again, weren't very good, and you couldn't ask them questions because they would, like, judge you if you asked them. And people just put too much pressure on each other.
And how does that, I'm just curious, like, how that shows up. So in terms of, is it, like, are people comparing test grades? Or is it you personally are comparing yourself to others? Or how does that pressure kind of manifest itself?
It was both. Like, after you took the test, everyone would be like, oh, what did you get? And if you didn't get a certain grade, they would be like, it's fine, but they didn't really mean it. And then you would definitely put a lot of pressure on yourself, and you would compare yourself to other people.
That sort of grading thing where she said that if you got, like, a bad grade, people would be like, oh. Sort of in high school now, like, I've gotten, like, probably, like, one or two bad grades on my history tests. It's just people saying, like, oh, it's okay. They're sort of, like, they offer help in a sort of way. Like, people at my table, they'll ask if I need help and what I need help on. And if I need help, then time to meet up to help me and stuff.
Like, it feels so supportive?
Way more supportive than middle school ever did.
Is that true for you, too?
Yeah, it is.
Did you feel, in terms of just the social aspects or in terms of your experience, would that have also been a C? Or, how would you have... How did you feel that was for you socially?
I liked my friend group, but there were some people who kind of made it not a fun time to be in middle school.
And you were saying before, like, 8th grade was pretty tough. Would you say that that was a hard grade compared to your other schooling thus far for you?
My classes were really hard last year for some reason. I don't really know why. I just couldn't, like, the information wasn't sticking in my head. And it just wasn't that fun.
Yeah.
Eighth grade wasn't a good year.
So it's interesting because I feel like there's a lot of assumptions out there about
going into your freshman year, and people are nervous, or they think it's going to be a lot harder, or there's because it's so much bigger, or maybe it's going to be more difficult to make friends, or on the academic side. So in terms of your experience, so you've both been in now for a couple of months, and then in terms of your experience, same thing, how would you grade it? And maybe talk about your grade both from an academic perspective, Luke, and then also how would you grade it socially?
My academic would be a B plus, because the teachers are really supportive now. They're not like holding your hand, but if you're struggling, they'll be like, come talk to me. We'll try and figure out. If you ask to stay after, they'll try and make an arrangement to stay after whenever you need. Another thing that they do is that they ask questions on how you're studying. So if there is a problems on how you're studying, they give you different methods to study. And then socially, I'd give it an A, because socially, for example, the football games that I go to, you just see all your friends, you just have a good time. You kind of forget about social or academically how you're doing, and you just have a good time.
Academically, I would give it like a B plus, because like the teachers are really nice and you can like turn to them for questions and help. And I've been like doing well this year so far.
Yeah, so you mentioned that, and I think that's really for people that are, because you went to Rocky Run, right? So I think for people that are making that transition, you know, in some ways they're trying to prepare you for high school so that when you get there, it's not as much of a shift or a struggle. And so for you, you're saying it's easier. You feel well prepared. It maybe wasn't an easy road, but it's easy from an academic, maybe not easy, but it's just a smoother transition.
Yeah, it definitely is, because my teachers were like, oh, high school is going to be like so much harder than this. And then, so like you built up like a lot of stress for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then like when you actually got there, it wasn't harder. So I don't know why, but that helped me a lot.
And then socially, what would you say?
Again, like a B plus. It's better than middle school again. And I like my friend group, and for the most part, I can talk to anyone.
So just in terms of an add-on to that, so you joined a sport, and so tell me a little bit about what that experience was like, just trying out for a sport. Like, I don't know your background, like how much you had played that sport, and also how much did it help in terms of socially just having a group that you were connected to going in, right? Because you practice before school actually starts, right?
Yeah.
So just tell me a little bit about that.
So I really liked having a sport before I actually went into high school, because I knew people and I could talk to them. If I saw them in the hallways, I could say hi. And it like helped a lot, knowing people. The tryouts were stressful because I really wanted to make the team. But it was worth it going through all of that. So
would you play that sport again? Like, do you feel like you're now totally into it after having played?
Yeah, I would. I'm trying out next year, and I really hope I make the team.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And so one of the things that I asked, or I mentioned in the opening remarks, was just some of the pressures or the nervousness. So Luke, just talk a little bit about when you were kind of a couple weeks leading to high school, right? What were some of the nerves that you had, or what were some of the things you were thinking about before you started?
Before I started, I'm going to be honest with you, world history was very stressful. People said world history was really, really hard, which it turns out it's not super hard, but you just can't procrastinate. Just do your work over time and not as stressful. But if you do it all in one load, then you're going to be stressed. Another worry that I had coming into high school now, is getting lost in the school. I think that's a worry for everyone, getting lost in the school and not knowing where you're going.
And what helped with that?
The orientation did. Getting to see what the school looked like, knowing where you were going to go. So if you are going into high school, then definitely go to the orientation. It's a huge help.
What about just the idea that the classes were going to be harder, or that it was just going to be generally tougher compared to, because everything's on a much bigger scale. Did you have any nerves about that?
No, not really, because I was kind of nervous because of my teachers. They were saying high school is, again, as Megan said, 5 times harder than middle school. But then some of my friends that are already in high school told me that it wasn't as bad as middle school, or was actually easier than middle school.
And then what about for you? What were some of the nerves that you had? I mean, you have a sister, right? So mm-hmm. You at least had her perspective. So maybe how did that impact
Yeah, my sister, she really helped me. She was like, oh, it's really fun, you're gonna enjoy it. And she helped me, like, understand the schedules and stuff. And it was just a lot easier because I had her.
Yeah. We joke all the time because he's our, you know, oldest. And we joke that, like, the others get to benefit from the things that, you know, he goes through. So the fact that you have her, that's nice. And she can give you a little bit of info and, you know, be able to fill in the gaps there. So what so far, you know, if you just name three things that you're really enjoying right now about high school.
The teachers. I really like the teachers. My friends. And then social events.
And what about you?
My friends, my teachers again, and the third one, probably things that I can do outside of school. There's a lot more options now, and I can do a lot more than middle school.
Yeah, so that's a great point. What kind of things, because you've just completed a sport, so what other things are you involved in terms of extracurricular stuff?
I'm going to join some clubs. I haven't yet, but I will.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, like, things outside of school, such as, like, charities that I help with, like, in volunteering.
How does it feel to do the charity stuff?
It feels pretty nice because I get to, like, give back to other people, and I know it will help, like, with other stuff because I have to, like, interact with other people, and it helps with, like, leadership and stuff.
Are you already thinking, I met when I asked this the other day, but are you thinking about how this year counts in terms of your overall impact, like for college admission? Are you already starting to think about that?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm doing charity stuff, because I really want to get into a good college and make sure, and I want like this year to like help me.
Yeah.
Because if I can get it down this year, then I can, it will be easier in the next years.
What are you, Luke, doing extracurricular?
Well, something that I'll be probably participating in is, if I have a chance, I'll probably go to Best Buddies. And then probably soccer. There's a lot of sports, extracurricular sports that I want to do, which is basketball and soccer.
Mm-hmm.
That'll take up a lot of my time after school.
Yeah, actually, how much time was that in terms of a sport? Did that impact your ability to study? And did it help, or did you find it was almost overwhelming?
I thought it kind of helped because even though I had practice every day after school, I still had time to do all of my homework. And it, like, kind of took off the stress of everyday school life because I had something to, like, look forward to after school.
And then in terms of pressure, so you had mentioned the academics, Luke. That was something that you were thinking about or concerned about. So would you say now that you're a few months in, where do you feel the most pressure in terms of when you think about school?
The stress of getting work done on time and getting a good grade. And sort of one thing that I try and think about is trying to make my parents sort of proud of how I'm doing in high school in long term.
So that was the question. So in terms of the pressure, is it self-inflicted because you're thinking about college in the future? Or is it also, you know, you want to please your parents? Or
it's both.
Yeah.
It's self-inflicted because you want to do good, as Megan said. You want to do good. You want to get into a good college. You want to be successful in life. And then I think it also is trying to impress your parents, sort of way. Because they're there for you, and they want you to do good. So you kind of want to make them proud and do good in school.
Is that the same for you in terms of kind of, do you feel more academic pressure than social pressure?
Yeah, I do. Because I really want to make sure that I have a good future. So
yeah.
I want to work on it now.
And do you feel the same thing about, are you more self? Like you had mentioned that you're hard on yourself. So is it more yourself motivated in that way? Or kind of that pressure is brought on by you? Or do you feel it from either peers or parents or anything like that?
It's mostly myself, but it's definitely like my friends have a lot of, there's like a lot of competition in my like groups that I hang out with, that everyone wants to like beat each other's scores. And but it's, like, in a friendly way. Like, we're like, oh, you can do better, and you can, like, get this down. I can help you if you need help. And, like, my parents, like, they stress grades a lot, and they want me to do well. So they, like, put me in things so that I can, like, better myself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Relatable is sponsored by TFA Soft Skills, your one-stop shop for workshops, coaching, speaking, and soft skills development. If you'd like to hire Teresa, visit www.relatable.com. www.tfasoftskills.com for more information.
I think that's nice, like what Luke said about it seems that there are people more supportive or that are willing to help you. It isn't just about being better than you, but that people are more compassionate and want to help each other. I think that's awesome. I want to ask you two questions. So what are some of the things that your parents do that help you feel supported? I'm also interested in what are some of the things that parents do that maybe make it a little bit harder or maybe isn't, you know, it's not as supportive.
Some things that make it easier is if you have a bad grade, then they'll be there for you and they'll try and help you in the best way possible. But one thing that sometimes they do is when they see a bad grade, they just jump right to conclusions and they start, like, they're right on top of you. What is this? Why are you doing this? Like, maybe, like, go into a little easier and be like, is this missing? If not, can you go talk to her? And then if you need help on it, I'm there for you. Just being a little bit maybe more supportive in a way instead of jumping right to conclusions.
Okay, and what about you?
Yeah, like Luke said, my parents are really helpful and they'll help me if I get a bad grade and they'll like, they can like get me like a tutor or something if I'm doing bad in a class and they just want to help me. But they can also like be kind of like not judgy, but they can be like, oh, you need to do this better. And like, if you don't get this grade, then you can't do, like you have to stop doing like being on a computer or something if you don't get this grade or something. And it kind of, it just makes me like really stressed out.
What do you think when your parents do that, like what do you think is the driving force behind that?
Because so the parents want you to get good grades because they want you to be successful. That's my thought behind it. Because your parents almost in a way just don't want you living on a street. They want you to be successful. They want you to live in a house. They want you to have a wife. They want you to do what you love. That's what they want you to do. They want you to do what you love.
Do you feel the same way in terms of that?
Yeah, they just want you to be successful in your life, and they want to better you and help you, and that's like what their driving force is, but sometimes they can like push a little too hard on that.
But now, as parents, we have access to your grades all the time. Like, there's an app, and we can look and see what you're doing, and to your point, teachers maybe haven't put in all the tests yet, or there's homework that hasn't been put in, and so that grade fluctuates. And so I think that's a great point, that there's times to be
a little bit caution.
Just to figure, ask the question first before you react. But I also think the thing with grades that is, I think from a parent perspective, is just that, well, yes, we want you to get good grades. At the same time, if you're struggling, if a class is hard, if you communicate that, then we would understand that. I think it's never, I think sometimes wires get crossed and it can feel like all they want is for you to have great grades and that's just it. And if you don't get great grades, then, you know, there's some sort of disappointment factor. And so I think the more you communicate about it and you're open about what's happening, then people are better informed. But any other part, like, is there anything else that they could do that would be helpful to you? Do you think that might be better support for you?
And just keep helping me the way that they are helping me.
Yeah. And that's mostly just being supportive when something goes south. And so being non-judgmental. And then also, if you are struggling, helping you with resources or helping you figure out how to kind of come back from that. I have a really good friend that's a high school chemistry teacher. And so I had some conversations with her. She's been a high school chemistry teacher for like 20 years. And I've had some conversations with her lately about how important, from a teacher's perspective, it is that she has built some sort of relationship with her students. And she says that, you know, it's infrequent that a student will actually try to create a relationship with her, actually, and that unless they have to or unless they're getting a bad grade, you know, then they'll reach out. So I'm curious, like, what's your approach, if at all, to creating any type of connection with your teachers?
So one thing you can do is if you have a bad grade, for instance, like in world history, I don't have the greatest grade right now. I can go up to her, and for the retake, I can be like, so the review guide which is basically an outline of what the test is going to be. Is there anything that's not on the review guide that I could study for to help me on the retake? Just going to them and talking to them can make a difference on how they grade you, maybe how hard they grade you in a way. Just going to talk to them and showing that you're putting full effort in this class. You're not just not even studying and then embedding bad grades and then coming to them. That you're putting full effort and it's just not working out, so they're there to help you.
Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you feel like teachers, like if you think about their kind of originating, like is there, and more so here at Centerville, but like is it more that they're coming from a place that they want to support you, they want to help you, like they're not the enemy? Or does that depend on the teacher?
Sometimes it depends on the teacher, but they're definitely their heart's in the right place and they're definitely just trying to help you.
And what is it that a teacher could do, in case a teacher listens to this, that could make you feel more comfortable going and talking to them?
They do everything. They do a good job. In high school, teachers aren't really supposed to hold your hands. You're the one that wants. You're the person who basically is affecting your grades. So they want you to come to them. They're gonna be there for you every time in high school. They're gonna help you in the situation, but you have to come to them. They're not gonna hold your hand.
Right.
It's high school now. It's like basically getting ready for life. And when you go into the real world and you're not doing well in your job, your boss isn't gonna show you remorse. Sure.
What about, is there anything they can do up front that would make them more approachable or?
Not really. Like, they already kind of are. You just have to go out and, like, talk to them, like Luke said. But they, like, tell you when you can come and see them, and they, like, offer their help to you if you need it.
I mean, that's the one thing that my friend said is that, you know, she does the same thing. She offers her time after school and she offers, you know, email addresses. Mm-hmm. And so she really appreciates it when kids reach out. And she did say that if she's grading papers and there's somebody who has really made an effort and she knows is really trying, I mean, you can't help but have that in your head, right? I mean, it's not a complete, they're not robots. So if you try to have a relationship, and I'm not saying you have to be best friends, but if you make an effort, I think it can really help you. And interestingly, like as you evolve in life, building relationships and connecting with people can really help. You never know where that can take you in terms of other opportunities. So getting in the habit of creating, you know, especially with people that are older than you or that maybe you don't know as well, or it can be kind of uncomfortable. Can you say something?
Yeah, a lot of your friends. Like, the friends that you made have helped you out with this business. So the connections long-term can help you with things that you want to do in the future.
So one of the things that we talked about was the academic pressure. And then in terms of social pressure, I'm interested to talk a little bit about friends and making friends and what, you know, that experience has been like. So in terms of friends between 8th grade and your freshman year, have you made different friends or new friends?
Yeah, I have. I have made, like, if I were to go into a sport, I'd definitely make more friends from, like, different schools. But for right now, I've only met, like, 2 or 3 people from, like, a different school. It's my main friends are still the ones from Liberty.
And do you feel like there's any obstacle or kind of a social pressure that limits you from being friends with other people that you want to be friends with? Or are there, and what does that kind of look like?
When you want to go up and talk to them, you kind of get like a little nervous. You don't really know what to say. And then you sort of like want to say something, but then you back down in a way because you're nervous. Maybe they'll criticize you again, even though they might have changed from when you first knew them. Or even if you don't even know them, you're scared that you're going to say the wrong thing. And then you're not going to be friends with them, and then you have no chance anymore. So it's that sort of mental. It's usually self-inflicted. It's not the other person. It's usually yourself that is preventing getting in your own way.
What about for your situation? Are a lot of your friends the same? Or being part of the sport, did that immediately like expand your social circle a bit?
Yeah, but I've just become like less introverted, kind of, because I am an introverted person. But like I can make friends with people, but I always feel like really awkward. Mm-hmm. And I can't, like, it's hard for me to like go up and talk to someone because I'm like afraid they're gonna like judge me or like come like on the spot or something, like just say like, oh, I don't want to be friends with you or something.
One of the things that it's hard when you're an adult, but it certainly I think is harder when you're your age, is that you feel like there's something wrong with you, or there's something that, you know, is your issue, and then that gets in the way of you being able to have conversations or approach certain situations. And I would say 8 times out of 10, the other person has no idea, and they probably don't think that way, or they are unaware. And so it is a little bit of your own perspective or your own mojo that's kind of fueling that. So is there anything, like, in terms of when you think about that situation, like, what would make that feel more comfortable to you? Like, what would, in terms of being able to go up to that group of people or that person, is there anything that they could do, or is there anything that you think could help?
Maybe sort of them coming to you in a way. If they know you're trying to make an appearance to them, maybe they could come to you and be nice to you. Mm-hmm. Sort of thing. So come to you, and then you can have, you probably have the confidence to have that conversation with them, because they're coming to you as a person.
Like, they're picking, sort of, they're proactive.
Yes.
I don't know, like, how to explain it, but if you just look more approachable, like, you're willing to talk to people, then, like, I, like, myself, at least, I would want to, like, talk to you and become friends. And it'd be a lot easier for me to talk to you if you just look like you're open to having a conversation.
Do you feel like you have that? Like, and I might pose this to both of you, but if, do you think about how you're...
Am I approachable?
Yes.
Yeah, I am.
You think you are?
Yeah, I think I am.
I mean, I wonder, what makes you think you're approachable?
Sort of in the mornings. I'm usually more awake than everyone. So I'm sort of like, you know, it's a little...
Like, you happily greet people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not really... I mean, some days, of course, I'm tired and I'm, like, not very approachable. But it depends sometimes on your energy, on how approachable you are. So if you're, like, in a really good mood and have good energy, then you'll go up to people and stuff. But if you're not, like, in a really good mood, then you're not going to look as approachable. You're, like, you'll be sitting down in a chair, just scrolling through your phone. But when you have, like, high energy, you have your phone away, you're, like, going to people, you're saying hi, you're talking... going away, saying hi to someone else.
Is that similar for you? Because I think you guys are different personalities a little bit.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not that approachable because I don't look like I'm that happy. Like, I just look, like, rude. I don't know. Like, I don't know how to explain.
They call that a resting bee face. Have you heard that term? Do you have that?
I feel like I kind of do, because I always look bored. Like, I just kind of just, like, stare off into space. And
are you bored?
Not.
Are you in your
time.
Head a lot?
I'm in my head, yeah. I just, like, think to myself a lot.
Would you like it if someone approached you? Like, do you do better if someone makes an effort or is proactive and kind of makes the first move? And are you, if that happens, are you more open and welcome to it?
Yeah,
or?
Definitely. If someone else talks to me first, I'm a lot more open to it.
So I do think that's something, I don't know how much they talk about it at your age, like the whole extrovert introvert thing, right? And where you're going to get your energy from. But there's definitely something about that in terms of, like, introverts, most introverts get energy from within, and extroverts get energy
from others.
So if you're like someone like you that's an introvert, if you've been around people all day, like when you come home, you probably want your own space. You need to kind of, you know, have some privacy and, like, be able to, like, deconstruct. Whereas you, if you haven't been around a lot of people, then you may come home feeling kind of drained because you haven't had a lot of interaction. And then I've noticed, like, when you go to soccer and come back, like, he's full of energy in life because he's been around all these people. So the reason I bring it up is because I think if you are an introvert, and you may not be meaning to give off those vibes, but it's just more that you're more an internal person. And so if you go back to the example of you all feeling like, well, maybe they don't want to talk to me, maybe they don't like me, it could just be they're not as comfortable, or that, you know, everyone has their kind of own story. And I think when you're your age, it's just hard to pinpoint that exactly. In terms of some of the other things that at least you read about and you hear in the news, that there's a lot of pressure when it comes to smoking, vaping, like drugs, even sex, right? So what... just in terms of what did you think, if at all, that would be like in high school? Is it different than it was in middle school? And what kind of pressure, if any, or accessibility to it do you have now?
It's easy to access it. But middle school and high school, it's sort of the same. Because it's really the group that does all that stuff is the group that does all that stuff. They don't really offer it to anyone else. You really have to go to them and ask them for it. But it's usually just that group that does it. They don't really bother you if you don't bother them. That sort of thing.
That's the drug stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's true from your perspective too.
Yeah, definitely.
So I asked this earlier, but I think it's an interesting answer. If on a scale from like 0 to 10, you wanted to get pot, and presumably you do not smoke pot right now. But you wanted it on a scale from 0 to 10. How easy would it be, one being like super easy, to get it?
If you'd like to advertise with Relatable, please email us at info@tfasoftskills.com for more information.
1.
And then for you, you're nodding, so you agree with that. Would you say, like, what about some, like, a harder drug, like an opiate or something like that? How easy would that be?
A 5.
Yeah, a 5.
So that's still pretty easy. So it's really you're choosing, right? You create a structure, a group of people that you want to be around, and you're saying that people that are generally doing that are within a particular group, and that your groups that you're hanging out with, you're either doing it or you're not. What about sex? So let's talk a little bit about that. Were people having sex in middle school?
Some people. It was really rare, but some people.
But you were just aware that they were?
Yeah.
And is there a pressure to do that?
No.
Do you feel any pressure with regards to that?
No.
Do you feel like it's very much like an individual choice?
It is an individual choice.
And that's respected among peers and...
Yeah, it's sort of, if you're with someone, it's sort of your choice. Like, they'll give you the choice when, if you're ready to do it or not, or, yeah, if you're with someone. But it usually, no one's really ready for freshman year, even through high school.
What about the vaping and the juuling? Is that what it is? Tell me a little bit about that. Like, how pervasive is it? Like, meaning, like, how often do you see it? Is it all the time?
Oh, vaping is all the time. You really don't see a lot of pot, though. It's all, like, you mostly see vapes. And then it's, like, it's sort of, like, actually, you probably see Juuls more than vapes. Mm-hmm. Out of school, like, you'll be, like, I'm a walker. So I'll see kids, you know, in their cars. Like, I'll walk in the parking lot trying to get to my cousin's car. And you'll just see people, like, in groups just vaping or in cars just vaping. You're used to seeing it. It's not a big deal. While parents' perspectives, they'll probably think it's a huge deal.
What about, like, in terms of you? Like, are you a walker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see, same thing? Do you see it? Do you ever see it in school?
Yeah, like, in the bathrooms, people.
PE, locker room.
Yeah.
People will, like, so, like, say this is the locker room, and then there's the office all the way. I don't know why they do this. They put the office all the way on the right, and then the bathroom's, like, all the way in the back, and people will just vape in there.
Do you notice somebody's behavior change when they do it?
No.
So I asked this the other day, and I think it's kind of an interesting, so I'm going to ask you both this question. So would you ever date someone that vaped regularly?
Yeah, I would.
You would?
It doesn't bother me.
And then what if they smoke pot?
I would not.
And what if they did like harder drugs?
No, I would not.
And what about drinking alcohol?
No, I would not.
Okay. I'm going to ask you the same questions. If they vaped, would you date someone that vaped?
Probably not, but I would be okay with it if they didn't, like, want me to do it.
Okay, and then what about smoking pot?
Definitely not.
And then what about, like, harder drugs?
Nope.
No. And then what about alcohol?
Nope.
No. So at this point, I just had an idea to this brilliant idea. We should talk again when you guys are, like, juniors. At this point, you haven't had experiences where you've been, like, around a lot of alcohol or there's been anything.
No.
Right? Not really.
Have you ever been in a situation where they've been, like, just, like, let's get something out of your parents' cabinet?
No.
So we're almost done. We're wrapping up. The last question is really about advice. So if you were going to give advice to your much younger 8th grade self, or even your 7th grade self, right, the kind of middle school self, now that you've been through that experience and you've transitioned into high school, you both seem like you're doing well and happy with, you know, where you are. What advice would you give, you know, to that 7th and 8th grader? And think about, you know, that advice in terms of how it might help other people too as they're making this transition.
Even in middle school, I would tell myself get more involved and extracurricular stuff. Don't underestimate yourself. As in work-wise, you're smart. If you worked maybe a little harder than, especially in middle school. Middle school are two, I'd say, pretty easy years. At Liberty, it was easy years. It was just like, just if you worked a little harder, then you would have gotten much better grades.
And then what about, you mentioned something too about just friends. So in terms of the kind of friends, you know, that you seek, right?
Yeah.
What would you say about that?
They have to have good traits. They have to be nice. They have to be funny. They have to be there for you when you need them. Most importantly, they have to be trustworthy. You can't have a friend that you don't trust. Like, if you don't trust a friend, then they're not your friend.
And what makes them untrustworthy?
If they say you tell them something, for example, like you tell them who you like, and then they go tell the person, it's not trustworthy.
So what about you? What advice would you give your younger self?
To not really care so much about what other people think about you, and to you can do a lot more than you think you can do, and to just try more things, and don't be scared of things.
Yeah, of putting yourself out there.
Yeah, don't be scared of that.
And what about on the friend front for you? Like, what are some of the things you've learned along the way in terms of making friends or being part of a group like you are?
Yeah, just, like, be willing to talk to other people and don't, like, what is the word, seclude yourself from others.
Yeah.
Like, just try to talk to people, even if you're not the most comfortable talking to people. Just try,
because like
you'll make more friends and you'll be a lot happier.
Yeah.
More the friends, the better.
Yeah, just have that social network. Okay, I did think of one more question. I'm so sorry. I know I promised that was the last one. But I did, and I thought it was going to come up, and it just hasn't yet, in terms of the social media thing, right? So we talked a little bit about just the pressure of that or how much of an influence it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious for you how much of an influence it is on you. Like, how much do you rely on it? And what, what's your general opinion of it?
By social media, are you talking about, like, Instagram and Snapchat?
I think so, yeah.
Or are you including YouTube? So YouTube is more, it's not like a social media.
Entertainment.
Yeah, it's sort of entertainment.
I would say more the personal, like the Snapchat and Instagram.
And how it affects me?
Yeah.
It doesn't have a huge effect on my life. I can leave it. But sometimes it can be stressful. Because people will, like, talk really bad trash on social media. And they'll sort of regret it. And then they'll get to, like, school the next day. And you could actually have a major impact on someone's life when you, like, cyberbully someone. That's a huge cause. You could change how people think. You change how they do in school. You could change even if they want to come to school. And if they're going to be a successful person in life.
How much of it is negative in terms of what you're seeing on your account?
Say 1/4. It's rare.
Yeah, like if you were to post something and then for someone to make fun of it or for someone to...
Friendly make fun of, like,
right. Nor mean, like, more mean spirited.
No one really does mean spirited stuff. That's for me though. I know other people, it's kind of hard on them.
What would you say? How does social media influence you and in your daily life?
I don't really care that much about it. I'm not really on it all the time. Like, I don't really care that much about it. It doesn't make a big impact on my life. But it's, like, it's fun to have and to, like, see what other people are doing. And
it's a good connection.
Do you feel like it influences your confidence? So, like, if you send something out and you're looking for likes, so are you immediately looking for that? And is it, like, a little shot of, like, adrenaline if you send something out and you start getting those back? Right. Not really?
Yeah.
No.
So, ultimately, what you're telling me is that it's really not that big of an impact, at least for you right now.
No.
You don't feel that influence.
I don't feel that negative influence at all.
And you mostly just see it as a positive.
Positive platform, yeah.
Yeah.
But I know there is very bad stuff that goes on mm-hmm. on social media.
So which... let me ask this one question, because I think it's important to go on a happy note.
Yeah.
Right?
So, okay.
Yeah. So one of the things is, like, in terms of just how you're involving yourself in your daily, like, what is, like, one thing that you already do or that you could do that could show an act of kindness to another person, or now that you've kind of seen that whole social scene, or even academically, right? Like, what is something that you think could benefit another person, or one thing you're already doing that you feel like is an act of kindness towards another?
So the social scene, you know how I was talking about how going up to that person might make you feel better? There, I bet you 100% there's one person that does that to you. So maybe make their day by going to them and being like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And go say hi to them. Make their day.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Can you commit to doing it?
Sure.
All right, you have to come up with something different.
I don't know, like offering help to someone if they need it, or...
That's a good one. Academically, right?
Yeah, academically. And just offering your assistance, and if they need any help, just telling them that they can come to you, and you're there to help them.
Yeah. And I think that's such a big thing, just that...
people being there for each other?
Yes. Yeah, and just that their really intent typically is positive, and that people do want to help other people. Well, thank you guys so much. I know it's a big ask and a lot of time, and I appreciate how honest you were with all of your answers. We're so lucky that you participated in this podcast.
Until next time, this is Teresa Freeman with Relatable. Thank you for listening, and thank you again to Megan and Luke, and to Pat Rouleau, the producer of this episode. If you like this episode, please subscribe and rate Relatable on iTunes.